But so just pay attention to whatever I do this morning. Amen. Cheryl, come here.
Okay.
I want you to
walk with me.
I'm going to walk all the way around the church.
Praise the Lord. Maybe not all of you.
I just want you to watch me. He's walking with me. I'm walking with her.
Don't follow her.
Just walk with me. You're walking with you. Amen. I didn't leave her. She didn't leave me. We didn't forsake each other. We stayed together. Amen. That's a daily thing that you need to do with the Lord. Walk with him. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. Don't think that you just have to walk with the Lord on Sunday or Monday or Tuesday. He walks with you. You walk with him every day. Amen. No matter what you do, how you mess up, whatever you get involved in, just remember God is with you. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. No matter what you're facing, he'll never leave you. Amen. Amen. And also, just one little illustration. Come here. I'm not through with you. These things that's kind of rolling in my head all week. Okay, when we pray, we believe that God hears us, amen? Many times we're faced in life with consequences and circumstances that are absolutely beyond our control. How many of you have ever done that, had that happen to you? Some things that you just don't have no control over. But then we pray and ask God, Father, please take care of this for me. Please help me with this. Please heal such and such a person. Please do this for somebody, you know? We do that. Okay, so here, I'm giving this to you to take care of that for me. Amen? But then give it back to me. Give it back to me. See? What I just did, I took back what I gave. Thanks, God. What I took back, what I gave God to do for me. Okay? And we do that all the time. We pray fervently. Oh, God, take this. Then 5 minutes later, we're worrying about what happened or what to do or how we're going to handle it ourselves. And that's what I want you to just, those two little nuggets, just let them sink in this week, okay? When we give something to the Lord, have faith in God that he will do exactly what he said he would do. Amen? There's a lot of stuff, you can sit down. Okay. There's a lot of stuff that's going on right now in the world. So, like I said, this week, I was just thinking, what am I going to tell these people? God, you want me to preach. But I know that there's a lot of stuff that's going on in the world today. And we have a tendency to get ourselves all mixed up in it, in the news, with what's going on with Iraq and Iran and the homosexual agenda and you name it, everything. We get ourselves in the president and what they're not doing and what these people are doing. We get ourselves all wrapped up in that, and our day-to-day walk is not a walk of peace and not a settled walk, not a walk that knows and says, I have faith in God that he will handle this situation. Don't think God just stepped off of the planet and forgot about us. He did not. He's quite aware of every situation that's going on. And when we said, God, take care of this issue that's affecting humanity, don't you know that he cares more for humanity than we could ever care for? He gave Jesus, his only son, that we could have life and have it more abundantly. And you don't have to worry about, he's like, I just walk with Cheryl around the building. His walk, your daily walk with the Lord, is to have confidence in him, to know that surely he will do exactly what he said he would do. His word is clear. His word is plain and clear. He gave us his word about things. But sometimes we worry about whether it's going to come to pass, and we take it from him. We give it to him, and we take it back, and we give it to him, and we take it back, and we give it to him, and he take it. No. Be settled in what you do. Be settled in your decision. Don't fret about stuff. Don't get yourself all anxious about what's going on in this world. You know, surely there's things that's happening, but some of these things, we can't do a thing about it. Only God can step in and do that. Amen? This week I had a colleague of mine to challenge me on Facebook to do something, and I started it. I did do it for a couple of days. Actually, I did do it. One was to say, he gave me 7 things to do for 7 days. And one was to say, the first one is to say, God is real. So I said that on Facebook. Somebody answered and agreed with me, God is real. Then the second one was, God is good. And then there's a third one. So anyway, I was looking. Clyde said, well, there you got your message, Marion. The attributes of God. So I said, well, okay. Well, I don't know if that's what I'm going to speak on. And truly, that's not my message. But I do have some handouts here, which are 30 days of praying the names and attributes of God. Okay, so yesterday was the first. Today, you'll start day one today. Okay, I'm going to pass these out. And each day, even each day in the morning or whatever time you find, you take a look at the attribute that's on that day, and then you meditate on that day, and you think about the attributes of God, okay? Kenny, could you pass these out? Benson, I want you to stand up. I want you to, everybody to see. You help him pass those out. He's so handsome today. look how good he is. Praise the Lord. Oh, you look so good. Hallelujah. Give me one back, too. Oh, when you can. So for 30 days, we're all going to be in agreement for 30 days concerning this. This is like, this is a prayer. This is like an agreement kind of thing. Amen? So every day we're going to read this church. And we're going to agree on, we already know, we're not necessarily have to agree because God is this, but we're just going to meditate on that. Amen? Did Colette leave out of here? She's okay. Well, I wanted her to do something for me, but we'll do it at the end of my message. Okay, so day one today, God is Jehovah, the name of the independent self, complete being. I am who I am. Only belongs to Jehovah God. Our proper response to him is to fall down in fear and awe of the one who possesses the authority. So you read the scripture underneath it. That's the scripture for you to meditate on. Okay? All right. Everybody get one? Okay. Hallelujah. Praise God. All right, let me pray. Father, thank you right now for this day. Thank you for your blessings upon this day, Father. Holy Spirit, I yield myself to you today to speak forth your word boldly and accurately, that I may bring your word to the people clearly, Lord God. Help me, Lord, as I yield myself to you and this message that you desire for me to deliver today. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Okay, so what I want to talk about to you today is that God, our God, is a consuming fire. Amen? The fire of God, hallelujah. I'm often remember times when they had revivals in some parts of the world, and where the fire of God was over the building. They kept sending fire trucks there because they thought the building was on fire. Because so much power, God revealed so much of his power in that place because of his desire for people to come to the knowledge of him. And I think that in this day and age, we have become somewhat lukewarm. You know, he said he'd rather spit you out of his mouth than for you to be lukewarm. Either you cold are hot. And fire is hot. Amen. Now the smoke is dying down a little bit, but we want to be fired up for God in these last days. We want to demonstrate the power of Almighty God in all that we do. We want to let people know, like Brother Kenny spoke this morning about his grandson. We want to take authority over the enemy and all of his demonic forces that are trying to upset this planet. You know, he's trying to upset this planet and trying to make people afraid and fearful and walking in fear instead of walking in the authority that God has given them. Jesus died. The song says the sacrifice lamb has been slain for us, that we can live a life here on this planet and live it abundantly. Amen? Hallelujah. The word fire is represented as a symbol of Jehovah's presence and the instrument of his power in the way either of approval or destruction. Okay? Does that make sense to you? Okay? His fire is represented in approval or destruction. There could not be a better symbol of our God than this of fire. It is being immaterial, mysterious, but visible, warming, cheering, comfortable, but also terrible and consuming. Parallel with this application of fire and with the symbolic meaning are to be noted the single use for sacrificial purposes and the respect paid to it are to the heavenly bodies as symbols of deity, which prevailed among so many nations of antiquity, and of which the traces are not even now extinct. Fire for sacred purposes obtained elsewhere than from the altar was called strange fire, for the use of such Nadab and Abihu. You remember Nadab and Abihu in the Bible? How many of you know who they were? Nadab and Abihu. Who knew who they were? Who were they? Eli? Come on, y'all. Sons of Aaron. Before I'm finished today, you'll know what they did. Anyway, they presented strange fire on the altar of God. And you'll know what strange fire is when I'm finished, too. But anyway, they got, you know how lightning goes, zzz, wipe you out? Well, that's what happened to them. They did something that was wrong in the eyes of God. And God says, oh, no, don't do I told you to do it this way, but you decide that you're going to do it this way. Oh, no. He goes, zzz. They're gone. Okay? Praise the Lord. God has a specific way of doing things and handling his business. And we as Christians have to realize that in this day that we're facing today, that God's going to take care of his business. But you just got to get in line with what he wants you to do and be faithful and honorable and true and honest and reliable and peaceful and in love, walking in love and doing all of the things that he's given us to do. You just got to do your part. But let me tell you, you don't have to worry about him doing his part, because he has a way. He has a things. He has a plate. If things set up the way he wants them to be. Okay? Exodus verse, I'm going to read these scriptures to you, and you don't necessarily have to turn to them, but you can get the tape later and go back and reference them. And but I wanted so that I can finish before 12 o'clock. Rusty. Hallelujah. Rusty has he's the time clock. Amen. All right. Exodus Exodus verse 3, chapter 3. And the verses 2. I'm going to read 2 through 6. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight while the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush, and he said, as in the movie Moses, he says, Moses. He said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. Then he said, do not, this is making a noise, do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, and he was afraid to look upon God. Okay? Then in Exodus 14, verses 19, and the angel of God who went before the camp of Israel moved and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud went from before them and stood behind them. So it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. Thus it was a cloud and darkness to the one, and he gave light by night to the other. So that was that fire, that he had a fire by day, by night, and the cloud by day. Pastor Rich just passed an email thing on the Facebook where he was preaching in Ohio, and over Ohio, over the church where he was, there was this massive cloud that looked like a tornado type cloud that was over where he was, over directly over the church where he was preaching. I'm believing that, and through our, some of the times that we are in our meetings, that the fire of God would just be fired up all over this place, and that people from miles around will be drawn here to know that there is a God. People don't know that, they don't believe there's a God anymore. There's a lot of people that's walking around, they think they're atheists until something happens, and then they go, oh my God, you know, they think they don't believe in God, but they don't. They have not seen Almighty God in His. I'm telling you, people, you just don't know. Our God is a consuming fire, and He will do what He said He will do. And in Isaiah chapter 27, it says, therefore, by this the iniquity of Jacob will be covered, and this is all the fruit of taking away his sin. When he makes all the stones of the altar like chalk stones that are beaten to dust, wooden images and incense altars shall not stand. God says he's a jealous God. And let me tell you, all of the idols and stuff that people, they think, people have thought over the years, I can do this in darkness and do all this dirt and do all of this idolatry and do all of these things, and nobody sees me, and God's not going to do anything about it. Let me tell you, people, there's a day of reckoning coming, and it's coming. And when it gets here, you will know it. It's here. Amen? God's not blind. He sees everything that people are doing. Hallelujah. Okay, in Exodus 27, verse 12, what I did, I had went and looked up all of the scriptures that I could find where God was talking, was where the word was saying he was a consuming fire. I'm not going to read all of them to you today because of lack of time, but I'm going to share some of them. Then the Lord said to Moses, come up to me on the mountain and be there, and I will give you tablets of stone and the laws and commandments which I have written, but you... that you may teach them. Verse 14, So Moses arose with his assistant Joshua, and Moses went up to the mountain of God. And he said to the elders, "Wait here for us until we come back to you. Indeed, Aaron and Hur are with you. If any man has difficulty, let him go to them." Then Moses went up into the mountain, and a cloud covered the mountain. Now the glory of the Lord rested on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And on the seventh day, he called to Moses out of the midst of the cloud. The sight of the glory of the Lord was like a consuming fire on the top of the mountain in the eyes of the children of Israel. Deuteronomy 4:23. Take heed to yourself, lest you forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you, and make for yourselves a carved image in the form of anything which the Lord your God has forbidden you. For the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God. Amen. Deuteronomy 9:2. Therefore, unto today, the Lord your God is he who goes over before you as a consuming fire. Hebrews 12:28. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve. This is bothering me. Excuse me. Let's mute this one. I'm going to use the other one. Is it on? Okay. Therefore, back to Deuteronomy 9:2. Actually, that's 3 I'm reading. Therefore, understand today that the Lord your God is he who goes over before you as a consuming fire. Hebrews 12:28-29. It says, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably and reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming what? Amen. Jeremiah 20, verse 7. O Lord, you induced me, and I have persuaded, and I was persuaded. You are stronger than I and have prevailed. I am in derisions daily. Everyone mocks me. For when I spoke, I cried out. I shouted, violence and plunder. Because the word of the Lord was made to me a reproach and a derision daily. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more of his name. But his word was in my heart like a burning fire shut up in my bones. That's how the word of God need to be in you, as like a burning fire shut up in your bones, that you just can't wait to go tell somebody about Jesus and about his loving kindness and his tender mercies and what he's done for you and how he saved you, how he's protected you all these years, how he's provided for you, how the Lord has given you what you needed to sustain you and keep you going. Amen? You have to do that. You have to let the word of God, let God be like in you, like a burning fire, not like a weak little lamp that's burned by a battery or something like that, but like a burning, blazing fire. Amen? Because if you ever notice, like in, like when they have a stone. Praise the Lord. That's okay. You ever seen like a forest fire or a fire in a house or something like that? When that fire gets going, it takes on a whole life of itself. It creates like a volcanic fire. It creates lightning and thunder, and it's like a breathing organism almost. That's like a firestorm. You got to let the fire of God be burning in you so that you can spread the word of God. Amen. It's like it says, like fire shut up in my bones. I was weary of holding it back, and I could not, for I heard many mark and fear on every side report that they said, and we will report it again. But so you just let the word of God be like that in you. Amen. I'm just encouraging you today in this. Okay, this one I want to read the whole thing to you. So it's going to take a little bit. So be patient. Don't go to sleep. Okay. All right. But I want you to, this is the account of Elijah on Mount Carmel. How many of you remember that story? Okay, that's a good, let's see. Okay, but I want to go back to something. Hold on just a minute. Okay, a little background on Nadab and Abihu. Okay, I'm going to read this. Nadab and Abihu were the first two sons of Aaron the Levite by his marriage to Elizabeth, daughter of Amminadab from the tribe of Judah. They have four sons in total. The younger two's name was Eleazar and Ithamar. During the time of the Exodus, after the Israelites' affirmation of their covenant with God, Abihu and Nadab accompanied Moses and Aaron and 70 elders up to Mount Sinai. There they saw God in great clarity, walking on the pavement of sapphire stone, and shared a meal in God's presence without being harmed as a result. Now that's somebody that, I mean, you know, they must have some favor to be able to do that. Amen. God had given them a duty, given them an assignment. Aaron and his four sons were the first priests that were appointed as the priestly system was established by God. The Levites as a tribe were later ordained for the priestly service after answering a call to take the Lord's side after the idolatry centered around the golden calf. Do y'all remember that? Okay. And after the death of Nadab and Abihu, Eleazar and Ithamar took their place as priests because neither Nadab or Abihu had any sons. Okay, this is talking about the violation of God's law and punishment. In Exodus 30 and Leviticus, God outlines a proper sacrifice to him. Aaron, the chief priest, was to present all offerings representing himself and the people. Moses said to Aaron, "Come to the altar and sacrifice your sin offering and your burnt offering and make atonement for yourself and the people. Sacrifice the offering that is for the people and make atonement for them as the Lord has commanded." God would send his own fire to consume the sacrifices as a sign of his presence. In other words, God didn't need anybody to light a match for him, okay? He didn't need that. He would send his own fire. But when Nadab and Abihu lit the offering in the censers themselves, their fire was profaned, and thus God was not in it. So what they did, they said, okay, I don't need God to do this for us. We can do it our own selves. We're going to light our own fire. We're going to do this sacrifice by ourselves. We do not need God to be a part of this transaction here. Okay. They prepared an incense offering upon kindling their own and not the holy incense from the sacred bronze altar. Thus it was termed strange fire. Aaron's sons spurned the command to wait for holy fire and offered incense with profane fire. Anyone who altered the sacrificial system assured a prerogative belonging to God alone. In other words, they took over, okay? God determines the judgments that are carried out against those who flagrantly and arrogantly violate God's command. So let me tell you, you can rest assured that all this strange fire that's going on, God's going to make, there's a day of reckoning. Amen? Okay, after the death of Nadab and Abihu, Moses dictated what was to be done to their bodies. He told Mishael and Ezpham, the sons of Uzziah, Uzziah, Aaron's uncle, to carry the bodies away from the sanctuary to place outside of the camp. He specified for Mishael and Elzaphan to be careful to not only touch Nadab and Abihu's tunics and not their bodies. The first concerns in burial were to prevent what is holy from being defiled and the service of God from being disrupted. The corpses had to be removed immediately because to allow the uncleanness of the bodies to remain in the sanctuary would further invoke God's wrath against them. The bodies were lifted up by their tunics to avoid direct physical contact. This did not prevent the carriers from becoming ritually unclean, but lessened the time and procedure needed to restore them to ritual purity. And on and on and on it goes. But the main point I wanted you to hear in this was that these people, they did something of their own, on their own accord. It's like us when we go, and God says, I want you to go to Croton Road and Post Road, and I will meet you there. Okay? And there's some appointment and assignment I have for you on Croton and Post Road at 3 o'clock, okay? But we say, I'm going to go to Croton and Lake Washington Road and make up my, and I'm going to tell you that I'm going to be there. So if you want to meet me where I am, okay, then oh, so be it. I'll be there. But God said, I have an appointment for you over here, okay? So that's like a lot of stuff that we do on our own that God never told us to do. He never told us. Some of the stuff we do on our own, God says, okay, I want you to go to Maranatha Christian Center, and I want you to stay there until I tell you to leave. Okay? I want you to get involved there. I want you to do something. If whatever you do, I want you to help out there. But God, I have a ministry of my own that I'm going to preach. I'm going to preach, and I was told that I'm going to preach to the multitudes. And I can't sit there and wait on you to get me prepared. I have to go. I have to go. Okay? But I want you, God says, no, dear, I want you to stay there until I tell you to leave. At the appointed time, when you're ready, when things are right, when the situation is okay, when there's safety all around, when there's nothing there that can hurt or harm you, then I will tell you when to go and the time to go. You're going to do what I've called you and ordained you to do. And I've anointed you to do. You're going to do that, but at the appointed time, in the appointed way, the way I want it done, okay? You stand a chance of being zapped, just like Nadab and Abihu did. You stand a chance of being put. I'm being serious. Okay, you stand a chance, actually, of being wiped out. And things happening to you that would not have necessarily happened if you had obeyed God. Okay, now God, I imagine he still loved Nadab and Abihu. He still loved them, but they decided, okay, you know, we can do this. We can fix our altar. We can put the fire on there, and then we'll offer the sacrifice. God was going to give the fire. He was going to send the fire down. It wasn't fire that they needed to send up to him. Okay. Hallelujah. Okay, now I'm going to go back to this and read this to you, and then it'll be almost time for us to get out of here, but maybe I'll finish this another day, another time. Okay, Elijah on Mount Carmel. So, Ahab, verse 20, let's see. So Ahab sent for all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together on Mount Carmel. And Elijah came to all the people and said, how long will you falter between two options? If the Lord is God, follow him. If Baal, follow him. But the people answered him not a word. Then Elijah said to the people, I alone am left a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Therefore, let them give us two bulls and let them choose one bull for themselves. Cut it in pieces and lay it on the wood, but put no fire under it. And I will prepare the other bull and lay it on the wood, but put no fire under it. Then you call on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God who saves by fire, he is God. Hallelujah. So all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. Now Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, choose one bull for yourself and prepare it first, for you are many, and call on the name of your God, but put no fire under it. In other words, they wanted their God to do this, okay? So they took the bull, which was given them, and they prepared it and called on the name of Baal from morning till noon, saying, oh, Baal, hear us. In other words, they were calling on their God to bring the fire, amen? So he said, but there was no voice. There was no answer. Then they leaped up on the altar, which they had made. Are you seeing this in your eyes? Seeing this? They leaped up on the altar. And so it was at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he's meditating, or he is busy, or he is on a journey, or perhaps he is sleeping and must be awakened. One translation says maybe he's in the bathroom. In other words, so they cried aloud and they cut themselves, as was their custom, with knives and lancets, until the blood gushed out on them. And when midday was past, they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, but there was no voice. No one answered, no one paid attention. Then Elijah said to all of the people, come near me, come over here, okay? So all the people came near him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, Israel shall be your name. Then with the stones, he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench around the altar, large enough to hold two seats of seed. I don't know how much two seats are, but two seats of seed. And he put the wood in order. He cut the bulls in pieces, and he laid it on the wood and said, fill four water pots with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. Then he said, do it a second time. And they did it a second time. And he said, do it a third time. And they said, he did it a third time. So the water ran all around the altar, and he also filled the trench with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, and I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your word. Hallelujah. At what? At your word. Hear me, O Lord. Hear me, that this people may know that you are the Lord God. Hallelujah. And that you have turned your heart back to you, that you have turned their hearts back to you again. Then, okay, everybody say, then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stone and the dust, and it licked up the water that was in the trench. Now, when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, hallelujah,
He is God. The Lord. Hallelujah. He is God. And Elijah said to them, seize the prophets of Baal. Do not let one of them escape. So they seized them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kidron and executed them there. Hallelujah. The Lord our God is a what? Consuming fire. Hallelujah. That showed the people right there who God is. God, I guess, you know, some days I said, God, you just need to not zap people, but you need to let them know. You need to like, hey, I'm still here. I'm still on the throne, and I can do all things for you. Amen. Okay, I'm going to cut it there, okay? But I still have a lot here in my book that I could share later on. But just remember, if God gives you an instruction, if God tells you something, just remember, do it the way he said do it. Don't even second guess yourself. Sometimes, like I tell you every time I minister, that every morning I wake up, I say, Lord, Holy Spirit, help me today to make right choices and wise decisions concerning all that I do and all that I put my hands to do. Help me that I may bring glory and honor to you. And I do that every day, every day. And I said, Lord, protect me this day as I go out into this world and do things, you know, work. And he does. He protects us. I was just thinking about all of the stuff that's going on, even now, like here in Florida. I was reading some of the things, the issues that are happening, like, you know, in the last days, he says there's going to be pestilence and there's going to be things like that happen. There's going to be a lot of diseases and all kinds of things that's going on. Even right here in Florida, there's this invasion, they said, of a giant African snail that's the size of a tennis shoe. This man has a thing in his hand that's right here on this picture. Okay, the Washington Post, he says he got a snail in his hand that's the size of a tennis shoe, a snail. And they're invading South Florida. They're in South Florida. And they eat the, I'm just telling you, just so you'll know, so you don't go pick up a snail. But I'm just want to let you know that, you know, your God is here. It's not, you know, that he's going to protect you, but a giant snail, and the thing has nasty parasites, carry parasites in it that will touch a human, get in a human, cause meningitis. Okay, that's one of them. Then let's look over here. There's this other thing called a flatworm predator, 2 inches, also in Florida. And this thing also has a slimy thing, a toxic slime that if it gets on you, you know, you could have some problems, serious problems. Okay, so you see these little insects and things running around. Just don't bother them. Leave them alone. And then they talk about the python. Somebody bought some pythons over here in the Everglades. This is all, they've almost given up on getting rid of those things. One python had 87 eggs in it. 87 eggs, one python, okay? So that means that he's going to hatch 87 babies, okay? So that's pestilence. That's disease. That's turmoil, okay? And the wages, the sin that's on the land, we have to pray, people. We have to pray. And then, okay, well, this is not even in Florida. This is over in Iran. Okay, we're talking about Iran and the nuclear deal that was passed, or whatever they did with that. Hey, God knows about it. A scorching heat dome over Middle East sees temperatures soar to 165 degrees Fahrenheit. Okay, right? It's in the it's on the news. Y'all know, y'all believe the news, don't you? It's in the news. 165. Iran is enduring. This is what it says. This is August 1st. This was dated August 1st. Iran is enduring a heat index of nearly 72 centigrades, while Iraq has called a public holiday due to the sweltering temperatures. Iran is buckling under the pressure of a massive heat wave passing across the Middle East, with temperatures soaring to nearly 70 degrees centigrade. Scorching heat levels of 50 degrees centigrade can almost paralyze have already paralyzed nearby Iraq, where officials were forced to call a four-day public holiday because it was too hot to work, and on and on and on. But all this stuff is like constant stuff everywhere you go. You got, you know. You so I encourage you people to pay attention to the Word of God and know that God is for you. He's not against you. And all you have to do is rest in Him. Rest in His peace and His love and His comfort. And be with God. Walk with God every day. Walk with Him all the time. Don't forever think about His presence. Every day, every moment, every time. I know there are times, like at work, I have things that I have to do to work. But when I can stop, I can think about the presence of God with me. God with me. He's not leaving me. He's not going to forsake me. He's not going to let me get eaten up by a giant snail or bitten by a giant snail or any of that stuff. Praise the Lord. Anyway, could that play that song for me? Amen. I'm kind of feeling Jewish today, a little Jewish songs. So do you still have it back there? No, the other one, the second one I sent you. You didn't pull it up. You only got one on the email. Can you come and get it? But anyway, as she gets that, I just want you to play to hear this one song. Our God is what? Consuming fire. She's going to bring that up for you. But the Shekinah glory, God, remember when things were just right in the temple, the glory of God came in and it filled the place. There was like a heaviness over the place that only God could be present. God wants to dwell with His people. He wants so much for us to do things that are good for us and to be in His will. And He's given us instructions. He's given us so many things, so many things to help us and keep us safe and to guide us through our lives. And all we got to do is just pay attention to Him. And He just so much loves us. I mean, you know, I just want you to this week, as you meditate on those different attributes of God, I want you to just love Him, fall in love with Him all over again, and just allow His presence to consume you and to take you to a different level in Him, to bring you to a different level of knowledge, the knowledge of Almighty God. And only you can do that. Only you can do that for yourself. But He wants that fellowship with you, that you can walk with Him daily. Praise the Lord. So don't be like Nadab and Abihu. We don't want to get zapped for being out of God's will. Hallelujah.
Burn in me. Burn in me. Let the fire of the Holy One burn in me.